Well, hello everyone. Sit down. It's so good to be here. It's just like home for me. It is home for me. So hello to everyone who I've missed. Hello to everyone who is new, who I'm yet to meet. Looking forward to that. I will be in that chair tomorrow morning, so feel free to give me a call. But yeah, I've been really honoured to speak tonight. And yes, I will be talking a little bit about my trip overseas, but I'm not just telling stories. I actually, the Lord has completely turned my world upside down and completely changed my life. And I feel like a different person now, so that's good. But yeah, I just want to share with you a bit of what the Lord has done in my heart. And I feel like He's called me back here to for this season and this time to bring what He has done in me back to you guys, so which is really exciting. But first, we'll just have some proof that I did go to Mozambique, and I have some photos. So we'll just flick through these. They're not in any order or anything, so I'll just explain a few of them. So I went to Mozambique, which is Africa, for anyone who doesn't know that. I was in Pemba, which is located right on this beautiful beach. It's incredible. We're pretty used to it here. We're pretty lucky, but a lot of the students were like, we're at the beach. So it was kind of cool. I was like, I live here. So this is one of the days where we did water baptisms. And we probably had nearly 100 people baptized this day. So you can go to the next one, Hannah. This is walking through. I got the privilege of going on what we call weekend outreach. So we're based in Pemba in Mozambique. We drove six long hours on a bumpy bus to somewhere here, somewhere in the middle of Africa. I can't tell you where it is, but that's where we drove to. And on this particular day, we were walking an hour and a half to the waterhole where they get their water from, I might add, for everything. But we were walking down to the waterhole to do baptisms as well. So that was an incredible day to one of the really small villages that I don't know if anyone knows it exists. I was like, how did we even find this place? And literally, that's where we were. So that was an amazing time. And thanks, Hannah, you can go. That's the kids at a church service on a regular Sunday morning. That's all the kids praising and worshiping, and such a special time over there of worship. So thanks, Hannah. This was probably my most favorite day of the whole time. I was on another bush outreach, and this time we were only about 3 hours in from Pemba. And we drove to this really small village. And so what we do on outreach is they set up loudspeakers and a big screen, and they play the Jesus film in the local language, which is incredible because most of the Mozambicans that live there have never seen a movie in their life, never seen a big screen, let alone heard of something that's in their own language, because they speak Makua there, which is only spoken in northern Mozambique. So we got to go here. Anyway, they were setting up the big screen and the music came on, but we didn't have anything planned. We were just waiting for the movie to start. And then all of a sudden, I don't ever dance, but all of a sudden, I was like, let's just dance. And then we had, this isn't a very good picture of it, but we had over 50 kids surrounded with us, and we were all dancing together. And it was just the perfect moment because I had this African music playing and we were watching the sun setting. You can kind of see a glimpse of it, but it was the most stunning afternoon. And it was just totally like God playing with His kids or dancing with His kids. And I just had a moment of like heaven open and just like worshiping the Lord and dancing in the sunset somewhere in Africa. And I was like, I may never get to do this again, but I will enjoy it while I have it. So that's just a little photo. I was in the middle, literally doing the Macarena and the nut bush. I was like, I don't know anything else. Anyway, so we can go to the next slide. This is back at the baptisms. You can see how many people came down and they were lining up to get baptized next. That's the waterhole where they collect their water for everything, an hour and a half walk, which just gives you a little bit of an idea of what they go through every day. That's just one of the boys at church, and that's during the church service there. Next. This is the beautiful beaches that I got to stay on. It's very nice. And next. This is at nighttime when we would play the movie, the Jesus film. that's obviously not a great photo, but you can see the idea. The whole village comes out, which could be anywhere between 60 people to 500 people, depending on what size village that you go to. So I think we had about nearly 500 at the first one that I did, and then about 100 at the second one I got to do. So, and some of them, most of them have never heard the gospel before, ever, and they get to see the whole Jesus film. And that Jesus died on the cross. And we, one cool story about village that we went to, the one where I was dancing with the kids, Iris Ministries, who I went with, had been there three times. And they didn't tell us this beforehand, but each time they went, they got chased out and sometimes stoned. Like, some people really don't like hearing the gospel. But and they didn't tell us that before we went, thank goodness. But when we went, we played the Jesus film, and 36 people came and gave their lives to the Lord, and everyone accepted, like, everyone came from the village to watch it. And so it's incredible. These are my beautiful housemates that I got to live with. Next. And that's just, we were just all getting breakfast and meeting the chiefs of the village. And this is a typical kitchen in Mozambique, all in buckets and on the ground. It's really, health and safety wouldn't go too far in Africa, let's just say that. Next. And this is probably my favorite photo of the whole trip. This is a little boy that I met sitting on the ground, and I couldn't speak a word of English to him. I mean, he couldn't understand English, and I could not understand Makua at all. And so I was like, let me just pull a face at you. And he did it back. So then I pulled another one, and he did it back. It was a good 10 minutes, and then my housemate caught a photo of us together. So that was really sweet. That was probably my favorite moment of the trip. And I think I have some of India. So I got to go to Mozambique for 10 weeks, and then I went to India for 3.5 weeks to go on outreach. So Mozambique was a school, incredible worship, incredible speakers from all around the world with 250 students. And then we all got sent out. So it was about a list of 20 countries that we could choose from. I chose India, and I'm so glad I did. So India, the main focus for our trip in India was working in the red light districts with the prostitutes that are in the brothels. So it was really full on. Saw a lot of things, experienced a lot of things that clearly you can't erase from your memory, but you can see the power of the Lord coming through in the darkest places on earth. So it was very exciting. So I'll be talking a bit more about that tonight. This is a boys' home. This place was the most special place that I went to. I opened the door and it was just like I walked into heaven. There were these 17 boys who have been, their mums are prostitutes, so they've been rescued from the red light district because the kids that are in there don't get any education, and they, most of them grow up to either be prostitutes or pimps themselves. So these boys have all been rescued, and it's beautiful Indian couple, their young couple, have taken them in off their own bat. They don't have anyone sponsoring them. No one even knows they exist, because actually in India, it's really hard to run Christian organizations. And so no one even knows that they exist. And I got to go there with my friend who just happened to meet them. And I walked in, and all these boys were worshiping the Lord. And I got to spend 3 days with them and hear their testimonies, and I was blown away. They're all aged between 4 and 16. And some of them, all of them are incredible, but some of them have faced really hard things that I would never, ever want to dream of going through in my life. And one of them is 4 years old. Little Bitu at the front. He's so cute. He's so sweet. He's 4. And he told his testimony to all of us. It was incredible. But one of them, just to give you an example, one of them stood up and gave his testimony about his mum pretty much just gave him up, couldn't do anything with him, and just was like, take him, rejection. And he stood up and he said that he fasts every Saturday and only prays for his mum to come and know the Lord. And like, I was just like, oh my gosh, every single Saturday of his life. So that's just a little snippet of what I got to experience there. And I got to lead them in worship. That was incredible. So yes, Next photo, thank you. This is just the beautiful ladies in their Indian saris. When I first got off the plane, I was like, where is everyone going? Is there a ball going on? Like, I just didn't expect that. But they wear that all the time. It's stunning. India is such a beautiful place. So many colours. I felt so underdressed the whole time I was there. Next. This is just a street that I stayed on in India. It was just kind of a joke because, as you can see, all the cars are going different directions in not really any lanes. But that was not the worst of it. You needed to pray a lot every time you got in a car in India because I didn't know if I was going to make it. Next, thanks, Hannah. These were when we did some street evangelism. We actually did a treasure hunt. And so we prayed to the Lord before. Anyway, we were walking out in the street and these three girls ran up to me and they're like, hey, we're doing a treasure hunt. Do you want to be part of it? And we're like, hey, we're doing a treasure hunt. Do you want to be part of it? So we got to share the gospel with them and they've actually all added me on Facebook. So it's my secret little mentoring program from meeting them on the street. So I'm really excited to hear what God does in their life because they were so open to hearing the gospel. But they're on a time limit and all things like this because they were doing this treasure hunt thing. But it was just incredible that they were so excited about their treasure hunt. And we're like, let's tell you about our treasure hunt. Like, it was an incredible time. And I think there's your tourist photo. I went to the Taj Mahal. I don't know if there's any more. Is that the end? Oh, that's just up in the mountains. I can say I've been to the foothold of the Himalayas. I thought that sounded impressive. Not quite the real Himalayas, but we were heading up there. So I was up northern India. And I think that's it. Yeah. So I just wanted to go through that, get all those things. You guys can ask me questions all about the tourist stuff later. That's fine. Yes, so I don't have time tonight to tell you the whole story of how I got to Mozambique, but Paul touched on it a little bit, very short notice. The Lord made it clear that he had like chosen me to go to the school that started on the 1st of June, and this is heading towards the end of April, and it was like impossible. I was like, well, God, I don't have any money. I'm not owed any time off work because I just came back from America, and there were all these things that it was just impossible in my mind. I say impossible, but it was so strong. It was like, no, you need to apply for Irish school. And then I thought, okay, I will apply. I remember sitting in my bedroom and I remember it today. And I'm like, if I didn't apply, imagine, well, I'd be here. But I know that. But I'm like, thank you, Lord, even if he had to force my fingers on the buttons to apply. But so I applied, and that is when, in some ways, my faith was stretched more than ever. But on the other hand, God came through greater than I've ever seen him do anything before. And he completely provided for everything, sorted out anything, everything that needed to be sorted. And yes, there were a lot of tears at the same time. I was like, is this happening? And God comes through in our eyes sometimes in the last minute. But I have learned that it's his perfect timing always, and to trust in his perfect timing. That's one of my main points tonight, is just about his perfect timing and lining up with his will and seeing how he does things, and focusing on him, focusing on being with him in everything that he does, no matter what that season looks like. So when the Lord clearly called me to Africa and India for this time, and I knew it was at that time, like if I went any other time, I'm sure it wouldn't have been the same. All these things have lined up. And so when the Lord marks you, or he calls you and he anoints you, however that may look like, sometimes for me it was just, I need to go to Iris. Like, why would I even think of going to Iris? Like, that wasn't even an option at the time until God dropped it in my heart. But when he puts a desire in your heart or makes you indignant for something, I just Just go for it. Because if it's the Lord speaking, he has it all planned out perfectly. And I mean perfectly. Better than you could ever imagine. Better than you can ever think. And he knows our needs. We had an amazing sermon on this at school, but about how he knows our needs before we even know what they are. And he's already provided for our needs before we even know what they are. And this sermon was just about the Garden of Eden and all the things that God made for the first few days. And he made everything that we need, even things that were pleasing to our eyes, before he'd even created mankind. Like, he just knew exactly what we wanted. And not just what we need, but he knows our desires of our hearts and the things that we want and the things that we like. And God really spoke to me about that. He's like, I'm not just giving your needs. I'm giving you far beyond anything that you need. And everything that he gave me was far greater than I could ever imagine. And little things, like obviously financially came through for me, but then the people that he placed around me, the girls that he placed in my house, like everything just worked out perfectly. I'm like overwhelmed every single day. I'm like, did that happen? Was I in Africa? Did I go to India? Like, I just cannot believe how perfectly it worked out. So, and sometimes I'm definitely a confirmation person. So sometimes I ask the Lord for about 100 confirmations before I do something. but He will not let you fail. He will not let you fall. And just that trust that we need to have in him. And I'll talk to you about how we get that trust and maintain that trust of his timing and that he's perfect in everything. So I just want to read out Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. I'm just going to read it. I have it actually printed here. So I'm just going to read it for you. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that entangles. Full stop. I don't need to explain that. Number one, walking in holiness, that was a huge thing in our school. And you'll probably, that's something that I'm really passionate about, but I'm actually not speaking on it tonight, but I'm just saying it is possible to walk in holiness with Jesus Christ. And we need to like not let any excuses come before that. So I'm pretty passionate about that right now, but I'm not speaking on that. here we go. This is the part. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of faith. And then it goes on about for the joy set before him, how he endured the cross so that we would not grow weary and lose heart. And so let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. Once again, I don't really need to go and explain this because you can read it for yourself, but I am going to explain it a little bit because I want it to be built inside of you. Just about God has your race marked out for you. I'm not sure if you're aware of it or not, but he really does. Whoever you are sitting here right now, I don't know why you came. I don't know why you're here. Maybe you come every week. But he's put you in this room, and I prayed that he would put people in this room. So unfortunately, you have to listen to me tonight to tell you that the Lord has marked out a race for your life, and he's asking you to complete it with perseverance. Sorry if this message is not exactly what everyone wants to hear tonight. I'm just going to say that. But I am, yeah, it's just so good when you do. Because after he says this and he's talking about, so he asks us to run the race with perseverance. And then the rest of the chapter goes on to talk about trials and discipline. And it's funny that it lines up with that. Because no one really wants that part, do we? We want to ask the Lord for the things that we like to do, which is fine, and ask the Lord for the things that we want. But what I've learned is that when you walk every day with Jesus, the things that you want line up with the things that he wants. And your whole perspective changes. I can't really explain that. That's definitely a personal experience kind of thing, which I pray that all of you have or have had. But the trials and the discipline, and it does say very clearly in the Bible that God disciplines those he loves, and he loves you. He loves you, and he disciplines you to bring his good into the earth. And yeah, it's not always fun, but the joy of the Lord is our strength at the same time. And the great things that come from those trials and the unspeakable joy that you can have in the hardest times is mind-blowing. And the peace that surpasses all understanding, I didn't really know what that meant. I mean, I said it a lot, but until you actually experience peace in a situation where there should be no peace at all, you realize that God is real. Like, it's just incredible. And learning to cling to Him in everything and in every season and wherever you are in the world. If you're in, I can say this, in the darkest street on earth, I'm just going to put it that way. I was at the Hindu, it's called the Kali Temple. It's the biggest, one of the biggest temples in India. And people come from all over India to worship at this temple. And we went there a few times, did some ministry around there. But at one moment, the group was walking on and I thought I'd just take a step back and I looked around. So this is people literally traveled hours and hours. Some of them walk. They have these festivals where everyone wears orange and walks to this temple or to a river or something. But anyway, it's amazing the things that they do for these gods. But I stood back and I looked around and I saw people with huge tumors on them, like huge. I saw a man with this tumor on him. Literally, it was like that big. It was at least the size of two cricket balls kind of coming off each side of his leg. I saw people laying in the street that literally were dying. So people with hardly any clothes on and people in severe poverty. And then as I kept walking, I literally was just doing a circle like this, just like, all right, what am I seeing here at this great temple that everyone from India comes to see? I saw men gambling and I saw women selling themselves. And I just was like, oh my gosh. Like I literally, at that moment, I felt that all I saw was death. And I, for the first time in my life, I had the feeling of this is almost impossible. And in an instant, the Lord says, nothing is impossible with me. And then He reminded me of a vision that I had when I first arrived in India. And it was for me. I shared it with my team because I felt that it was for all my team, but He reminded me that it was also something personal. He was like, Hannah, wherever you walk, there is light shooting out of your feet. And whenever light turns on, it's noticeable to everyone around you. And so it was just an incredible moment for me to look at this place, which I would almost say hell on earth. Like, no one wants to be there. No one wants to walk around that street unless you're coming to sacrifice whatever you're going to sacrifice to these false gods. And it was just so twisted. And the atmosphere is so dark. But when you're walking with Jesus, I literally was laughing. Like, I'm walking the street just laughing. And then I'm singing Chris Tomlin's Greater Things Are Yet to Come. This is me around the street. Greater things are yet. Like, just like the happiest person there. Of course, I'm filled with Jesus. But it was like, I literally walked around the temple singing Greater Things Are Yet to Come to this city. So that was an awesome moment. But the Lord was taught me so strongly that I never have to fear, never have to fear. When you're walking down streets that are filled with people, like even the culture in India, like they all stare at you a lot, like, and they don't look away, they just stare, like, and I could have been so scared, so fearful at times, like I mentioned with the cars, you didn't even know where you were going sometimes, but the Lord was so strong. And I do want to thank everyone who was praying for me because I was living on a prayer. I can say that. but just the Lord's presence, you can carry Him everywhere. And by getting that inside of you, that you can experience Him everywhere, comes from intimacy with Him and that alone. And so when I was in Harvest School for 10 weeks before, I was being filled up with the Holy Spirit. And yes, the classes were amazing and the worship was incredible. But most of all, I fell in love with reading my Bible. And I would love to encourage all of you, get into the Word of the Lord and experience intimacy with Him. I actually was a little bit rebellious and skipped some classes just so I could read my Bible. I was like, I don't want to do anything. I just want to be alone with Jesus. That's all I want. That is all I want. And I've never been to that kind of place of intimacy with him before. And so I really encourage you right now, especially if you're struggling with reading your Bible, because that was something that I did struggle with a long time. I don't like reading at all, at all. But, and it's so true, but they're words until the Holy Spirit speaks to you when it comes to life. And so that's one thing that I'm definitely praying for you, every single person here, that these don't just become words, but they become the bread that you eat every single day, where you get to the point where you're starving without this. Because that is what changes your life. And intimacy with him brings you closer, and that's what changes your perspective. When you realize that everything that you do is lines up with what he wants you to do, and you're naturally being led by the Holy Spirit, and you have those moments where you're like, how did I get here? And God's like, well, clearly you followed me here, kind of thing. And the things that he'll line up will just blow your mind, and the way that he'll speak to you will blow your mind. And I mean, like, I would lay awake at night and be like, what? Like, what? How? Like, it's like my mind can't comprehend what he's doing in my heart. And I know that, yes, the speakers were great, but I know that came from spending personal time with him. And sorry, I'm just going to catch up to where I actually am. Sometimes I do this. Yes, so intimacy with him, and it's the intimacy with him and walking every day with him, which changes your perspectives, particularly towards the hardest things in life. So someone may look at you and think, oh, that's really hard. That person's doing it really tough. But when you're clinging to Jesus, it really doesn't matter what's happening around you. When you're like with Jesus, like he's in you and you're in him, I can't explain it. That's why I just need to ask the Lord to speak to you right now and explain it to you. yeah. And that's when you get to see him do miraculous things, is giving him the room to move. So when, I know I've said this a lot now, but when your perspective changes, you start to see that the things that we like in life, the things that we think would be nice, like I'd really like a job today, or I'd really like to get married, or I'd really like to have a house, or I'd really like to have a car, and oh Lord, if you gave me this today, or if I had extra money today, yes, that would be a good thing. That sounds good. But when you start to walk with him and see things like he does, but not just things, people like he does, when you start to see people like he does, your reactions become very different to things. And I know clearly I would have been changed a lot by seeing the poverty of this, like walking an hour and a half for a glass, not a glass, maybe a bucket of water. That does something to you. When you have tea and coffee in the morning and you wake up and you say, where did we get this water from? And you find out that 3 8-year-old girls had walked 3 hours to bring you a bucket of water to make you a cup of tea in the morning. Like, that does something to you. Definitely makes you think about what we have here and makes you grateful. But I don't want to go into that tonight either. But what I'm really talking about is being obedient to him, whatever that looks like. And that's not always hard. It's not always hard. And what it does is being obedient for him creates room for him to prove how good he is to you. And that is the joy. That's where the joy comes from. Like just being with him. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you did this, but you already had this planned and working all things out for good. And so that's one of the scriptures that I want to read tonight. God works together. I'm just going to actually read it to you because I read a different version of it, which actually really changed how I viewed that scripture, because I've quoted it quite a few times and now I regret that. okay. So the whole part about he works all things out for good for those who love him, which is good, but I've actually prayed that prayer and said, all right, Lord, if you're going to work all things out for good for me because I love you, then you're going to get me this. I don't know if anyone has kind of prayed a prayer like that. Maybe I'm the only one. But sometimes I think if God does this for me, then that's a good thing. Anyway, then I looked at the bottom of my Bible and I saw that it had a different version. And it says, God works together with those who love him. That's number one. I was like, oh, you actually want me to be part of this? You're not just going to drop an envelope in my letterbox. God works together with those who love him to bring about what is good. And what is good? He is good. He wants to bring about what is good on this earth. He wants to see people saved. He wants to see people come to know him. He wants to see women rescued from prostitution. He wants to see men set free from gambling. And he wants to see young boys like these four-year-olds, for goodness sake, who, like, he wants to set them free from the crime that they're entering into. And he's using us. We are his hands and his feet. And I know we've heard that a lot. And once again, I've probably quoted that a lot. But what does it actually look like to be his hands and feet? And what it looks like is walking in obedience with him. And to be obedient with him, we have to spend time with him and be intimate with him, that we know that we are being led by him in everything that we do. So that's my message tonight. Got it all out in one long sentence. It's not hard. It's not difficult at all. And saying yes to him is the best thing that you'll ever do in your life. Literally, the best thing you'll ever do in your entire life is to give him every area of your life. One of the preachers made a statement during school, which actually really was really hard to hear at the time. But they said, partial obedience is disobedience. And I was like, oh, didn't want to hear that one today, but it's true. It's true. When the Lord asks you to do something, he says, run my race with perseverance. Don't just dawdle along. Like, he has work that he wants to achieve. He wants to set people free. He wants to draw people into him, and he's using us to do that. He doesn't even need to use us, to be honest, but he wants intimacy with you, and that's what he created us for. You see a baby who takes their first breath, did you know they already have a purpose on this earth, and that's to be in a relationship with Jesus? You think they're helpless, they can't do anything, they can't even eat by themselves, they definitely can't do anything, but Jesus has brought them into this world to have a relationship with him. And then I was reading a lot in the Bible while I was over there about God and how he calls us to be mature Christians. And I feel like that's maybe what he's done in my life. He was like, Hannah, it's time to grow up. And like I said, you might not want to hear this message, but he's saying, and I'm not saying you guys aren't grown up. I'm not saying that at all. This is where the Holy Spirit is going to change my message to make it exactly what you need to hear. But I'm just saying, digging myself a hole, never going to get asked to speak again, but that's okay. I have tonight. But the Lord is asking us to be obedient in everything that we do and seek him in everything that he wants to do. First of all, I think this is where he plucked me out of this place and took me to Mozambique, where I didn't have any distractions. And he was like, Hannah, I want to introduce you to this. And literally, I spent all my time reading the Bible, and that is what has changed my life. Okay, so then this whole thing about giving our lives to him and being obedient. So it goes uphill from here. Isn't that good news? So Romans 8:32, I think it is, talks about how, I guess I can just read it. I have it here. Okay, I'll just start from 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? There's a lifetime of sermons on that alone. We'll save that for another night. But seriously, if God is for us, who can be against us? And I know I'm a bit more passionate about this after walking the streets that I've walked. But if God is for you, who can be against you? Like, I'm still learning this. I am every day. But it's like, We're on top of the world. We have Jesus living inside of us, and his presence is literally like shooting out from our feet. Like, I declare that over all of you. You guys have light. I literally was in the street like, pew, pew. It was so funny. I don't know what they thought of me over there, but anyway. Okay, now I've lost my spot. Okay. Yes, okay, so if God is for us, who can be against us? What is the answer? No one can be against us. That's good. Thanks for listening, guys. You guys are so great. Okay, the next part. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And I read this and I realized it's in a form of a question. As if we're stupid and we missed that point. That's what it sounds like. I literally read it and I was like, why is that a question? Like, and it was like, because you haven't got it yet. It's like, oh, good, great. Okay, so how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And I know I'm laughing a lot and telling jokes, but literally I had this week where I asked God for a joke every day. I'm telling you to do that. It's the funnest thing. Literally, just be like, can you tell me a joke today? I don't know why I thought of it, but it was hilarious. Like, I'd be sitting there, I wouldn't know when it would come, sometimes at dinner time, and I'd just start laughing my head off. But you can't explain it to anyone because God knows you so intimately that only you get it. Literally, I challenge you, ask the Lord for a joke. It is so funny. Jokes for all. We'll pray for that later too. It makes your day. You're like excited. You're like, what's it going to be today, God? Huh? Can I guess it? Like, it's so funny. Anyway, back to this. Who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. That alone. Okay. Well, I know I said a lot of statements tonight, but this is another good one. I'm not saying I came up with them all. I stole a lot of them. Let's not podcast this. No, I'm kidding. It's a joke. Sorry, I need to be serious. Oh, dear. Okay. We're going to be good now. Yes. If God only died on the cross and that's all he did for you, would that be reason enough to give your whole life to him? I was like, ooh, once again. But seriously, I thought about that. Imagine if you didn't have anything that you have now, but you knew that you had eternal life to worship Jesus and that's it. Would that be enough for you to cling to him? And that is enough to cling to him. That is, God gave up his only son. I don't know what that's like. Like, we have no idea. And we're singing about the blood of Jesus and the power in the blood of Jesus and the power in the name of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus and he'll be there in an instant. Sooner than an instant. We can't really comprehend that, but he can. It's like, call on the name of Jesus and he'll be in there in an instant. No matter where you are, he will meet you there. This blows my mind. He sent his son to die on the cross for us. Someone was talking about that the other day, actually. If God, something about being ants. We were looking at ants. It's like, like God came far smaller than an ant to what he is. We know how great he is. But he shrunk down to be human. And not just be human, be mocked by humans. Like, yeah. And God gave his only son to die for us, and the love that that takes and the love that that is. And you're like, if that's all you gave me, Lord, that would be enough to give my entire life to you, Jesus. It's, yeah, so powerful. But then it says, won't he graciously give us all things? Like, it just gets better. All things. Like, and what we have to do is give him room to move. And once again, in everything that we do. And it starts with that obedience and trust. It's about, I wrote this down somewhere. Trusting in him is faith that it is safer to give him your life rather than to create one for your own. Do you trust him with your life? Do you trust that he will graciously give you all things? And we look at the things we have to give up. Well, from the outside, it looks like we have to give up things, but I'm sure all of you know we don't really give up anything because we gain him. It's not really giving up much when what you gain is him and not just him, but the things that he gives you and the good gifts that he wants to give to you. I had a lot of mind-blowing moments. Clearly, I'm still dealing with that. tonight I just want to finish off with intimacy with him. I was at a mission school, so they were training us, well, talking a lot about being a missionary and things like that. Didn't know I was there for that, but anyway, the Lord likes to surprise us too. But one of the main statements was intimacy over ministry. And I was like, whoa. I work in ministry, so that makes a lot of sense to me. But maybe for you, it's intimacy over work, intimacy over family. I'm not sure. But intimacy, 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 because everything flows from the intimacy in your heart. Everything. And when we do things, really, when I do things, I only want to do them with Jesus. Because what's the point of doing something without Jesus? There's not much, really. So we must know who he is, and we must know who we are in him, because that gives us the boldness. That makes us courageous to walk in places that we never thought we'd go to and to do things that we never thought we'd do. And when he's inside of you, you don't even think twice about it. You're like, oh, but Jesus is with me. You're like, I'm sure his angels are surrounding me right now. Like, he's with me. He's my protector. He's my guider. Like, he does everything with me. And like I said, I just touched on it before. It changes your reactions to things, and it changes your reactions to people. And that's a huge thing. Learning to love people and see them as God sees them is just mind-blowing. Once again, let me throw that word around a bit more. It's just, So I just really want to encourage you all tonight. Number one is intimacy with him, and out of that flows obedience. But it's not hard. I want to keep coming back to this point, because all you want to do is be with him. You want to walk with him. You want to run the race with perseverance. And in the Bible, it's there's a scripture in Ephesians 5. Find out what pleases God. Find out, ask him, what pleases you, Lord? What pleases you, Lord? And when you have that intimacy with him, it'll just be so natural. And just before that, I love this. And it obviously means so much because I have light shooting out of my feet. But it says, live as children of light. And then it talks about, it actually tells you how to do that. It gives you the list of the fruits of the Spirit. Like, it goes into list some of them. But live as children of light. And God's like, what happens when you have light shooting out of your feet? People see it. Like, when you walk in the darkest places on earth and you have the light inside of you, people have to notice it. They can't do anything but notice it. If we turned all the lights off right now, and you looked at my feet. I'm kidding. But if we had one light in this room, I'm sure all of you could tell me where it was. So he loves you. He created you for intimacy with him. He created you to not just read this, but to understand. Oh, I just ripped it. Ooh. he created you to read this, but not just read it, understand it. Ask him to show you something. And trust me, you will have quite a few days where you won't know what to do with yourself, because you've read something 100 times and then you'll read it again and you're like, what? Like, how did I ever do this? That's what God does. He just amazes us all the time. So I'm just going to wrap up what I'm saying right now, but I just want to encourage you all to be obedient to what he's calling you to do, no matter what that looks like. And other people might say, oh, that's really hard, or should you be doing that? Should you be doing that? Oh, that's really difficult. I'm not sure if it's going to work out. Ooh. When Jesus has told you something, hold on to it. Before I went to India, I had one moment. I received an email from Iris saying, congratulations, you got in. You can choose one outreach option. And let me just tell you, a month before this, I said to someone, I never want to go to India, ever. Anyway, I had this moment. I actually was sitting in the church office when I got the email. And as soon as I read the outreach options, the Lord was like, you're going to India. Boom. I can't say that it was an audible voice, but it was strong. And I was in tears. And I was like, I'm going to India. I just knew it. But after that moment, I never heard anything from God about India. Nothing. And to the point where I got halfway through the school and I'm like, am I supposed to go to India? Am I supposed, like, I don't know. I haven't heard anything. There's nothing really lining up. I didn't have a visa at that time. Like, it was just, I didn't hear anything. And God was like, hold on to my promises and hold on to what I say. So I just want to encourage you, if God has spoken to you about something, hold on to those promises. Hold on to what he says. And run with perseverance, whatever he has for you, because it is the greatest joy in the whole world. And I've laughed more than ever, clearly, in the last 3 months. And there's going to be a whole lot more of it, I know. But being with him and walking, not just being with him. I'm talking about walking. I'm doing the doing tonight. Doing what he wants to do with you is just the greatest thing you'll ever do in the whole world. So thank you for listening. I hope half of that made sense.